You're listening to the HDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Lamb edition of the HDB podcast. In this edition, Neris Wright, Knowledge Exchange Manager, talks to Matt Blythe, one of our Challenge sheep farmers, about body condition scoring his flock.
The focus of today's podcast is to talk about the role that BCS has in the management of sheep during the year, with a particular focus at this time of year at weaning. Body condition score is research that AHDB have been funding for the last few years in two major projects. The first being the Sheep Key Performance Indicator project. That was a four-year project that ran from 2012 to 2016. And data from that project found that there was a requirement to look at the relationship and the focus of replacements, the differences between ewe lambs and shearling replacements, what were the things that created a good ewe lamb longevity, and the same with shearlings. That bore to the project called Challenge Sheep. Both of those projects have collected weight and BCS data from sheep, either the whole flock or a particular cohort of sheep, from five key periods of the year, starting at weaning, then at tupping, scanning. At lambing, it was only the body condition score. It wasn't the weight given to the weight of lambs. And following that, it would be the eight-week period after lambing, where the first lamb weight and the ewe BCS and weight would be gathered, finally back to weaning again. One of the key focuses of the project is to try and assess the major time of year where body condition has a biggest impact over all of the others. And that is something that we'll hopefully be discussing once the data of the KPI project is fully published, hopefully at the end of next year. So my name is Neris Wright. I work for AHDB. I've been working on a KPI project looking at KEEP, which is key performance indicators relating to sheep production, specifically focusing on the role of condition scoring, body condition scoring. I'm here today with Matt Blythe, who was one of the three farmers who participated in that project. So Matt, if you'd like to just introduce yourself for us, please.
My name's Matthew Blythe and I work for Diddling Farms down in the heart of the South Downs National Park. We run anywhere between 800 and 1,000 ewes, which we lamb down in late March. We also retain all our own breeding females to return back into the flock.
So, as I said previously, you were one of the three project participants, and that started way back in 2012. And you've been condition scoring since then. And following that four-year project, you've also joined onto our project of Challenge Sheep, which is another seven-year project looking at the role of condition scoring and weight in replacements. So it appears that you've been using condition scoring as a management tool for a while now. Can you tell us why you continue to do this?
All my career I've been condition scoring sheep, so pre the projects we were condition scoring, but not as regular as we are now. We always used it after weaning to try and work out getting the sheep back into their optimum body condition score, but we never did a lot more with it. We might have used it pre-lambing just to say the twins are a bit thin and put them in with the triplets to feed. But after getting involved with the project, or just before the project started, we started using the Key Performance Indicator project started. We started using body condition score more because we noticed it seemed to be quite a driver to getting lamb weight up at weaning. And we're more focusing on it now, bringing it in conjunction with how much grass is available. Because the biggest thing I've learned from it is a thin sheep eats more than a fat sheep, which sounds obvious, but it seems to be, when you're paddock grazing, it seems to be more and more obvious. So we need to know how much grass is available to get these sheep back into right body condition score, as well as, you know, getting them back to help the lambs grow, as well as getting them pregnant.
Yeah. So you're able to utilise that information when you condition score them to prioritise grazing and other management issues as a result of it. So you do use that information once you've condition scored them.
Yeah, we use that information to work out, you know, like did a week condition scored at 8 weeks after lambing. One group of ewes was thinner, and so we moved them to a better quality lay to help get their condition back up for weaning. I believe has probably gave us an extra kilo on each one of those lambs. You know, the Challenge Sheep projects hopefully will confirm that with proper information. But my gut feeling is we would have, if we'd kept them where we were, they would have lost even more condition, which would have made it hard for us to get them back into condition, or the right condition, for tupping next year.
Absolutely. And so I think the main focus is we often think about tupping perhaps a few weeks before tupping, but your tupping season really starts at weaning or even before by what we've just been talking about, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're planning so far ahead. It's the biggest thing I've learned through being involved with you in the KPI project and Leslie Stubbings is a lot of the things we do 6 months earlier than when we normally think have a major effect. So, you know, body condition scoring at weaning or at 8 weeks to make the decision when we're going to wean is critical to getting these sheep back into condition for tupping to get us the right number of lambs for next year.
So was weighing your lambs and condition scoring your ewes at 8 weeks something relatively new to you when you started on the KPI project? I know as an industry it's something that the recording flocks have been doing for a while through the Signet programme, but is that something you started through the KPI project?
Yeah, the two major things we started was condition scoring at tupping and condition scoring closer to lambing or at lambing. At lambing's become a pain, but that hectovacuum point is quite a critical point for me to now condition score at, you know, pre-lambing. 8 weeks is make their decisions for weaning, and then the weaning one, then that's the one where most of the information starts pulling together to try and make the decisions of tupping.
Okay, and so just talk a little bit now about the actual process of condition scoring. Do you physically handle them? You don't do this by eye, do you?
No, I don't do this by eye. I use my hand, and it's quite critical for me because I'm using digital equipment, so I'm using weigh heads to record the actual body condition score, especially for the projects. If I condition score with my right hand, I condition score harder than what I do with my left hand, and my left hand's more accurate to you. And that's just through years now of condition scoring with one hand. And it's quite amazing when you see the scales work. I put 5 kilos worth of pressure on a sheep to body condition score it.
That's interesting.
It's amazing how much pressure a fat sheep or a fit sheep needs more pressure than a thin sheep. Mm-hmm. So when you're condition scoring, if your group's in good condition, your hand hurts.
Yeah, and I sometimes I find, you know, if they're sort of borderline as well, you tend to sort of maybe think a bit more and spend a bit more time. But when she's really thin, you tend to instantly know, don't you? So there is that. But in terms of, I know a lot of people, I know as stockmen, you know, we're never going to take that away from people. You'll always see your really thin ones in the field, a stockman's eye. But I think condition scoring, I know when I do it, you notice subtle changes sooner. So you don't want them getting to that hat rack that's a 1.5 that's obvious to everybody. You know, what's your experience in the handling and how subtle a change can you detect when you physically condition score as opposed to eye?
I'm going to say we're now condition scoring. Most farmers will condition score down in thin sheep, okay sheep and fat sheep. The industry uses the 1-5 scale. We've now split that 1-5 scale down into quarters. It's a bit of a thing for the industry, but we've massively noticed that once you get into condition scoring, your brain goes, is it a 3 or is it a 3.5? And just putting that quarter of score in has made a big difference to us. It stops you hesitating as much, you know, thinking, which is it, thinner or fatter? Which way do we put it? But it's been noticeable that actually a quarter of the scores it can be picked up, and we can see the subtle change. You bring that sheep back in a month's time, it will then be, if you believe it's a 3.25, all of a sudden you find out it's 3.5 next time you bring it in. So the subtle changes, once you've got your hand in, eye in, depends how you want to word it, You can find subtle changes. You know, at 8 weeks, me and Leslie Stubbins, when we were doing the KPI project, we were bringing the lambs in eight, using lambs in 8 weeks, and we were body condition scoring through the weigh scales at 4.5 sheep a minute.
Right,
so
okay.
Top flight.
Yeah, I think that is one of the responses I get quite often when we talk about physically handling all the sheep is, well, it would take a lot of time, but obviously, practically, you experience that when you've got good handling and you've got your sheep used to running through the crate, then it doesn't actually. So perhaps the first few times you do it would be, you know, a bit slower, but once you get into the groove, it's not that time consuming.
Yeah, once you work out what works for you, and different times of year I do different things. So using lambs coming through together 8 weeks, I will run, no, body condition score, but the ewes and ewes and lambs are going through together. Once we get up to weaning, I will drop the lambs off first, or if I have to do it and the lambs are slightly bigger for some reason, I'll drop the lambs off first, because we're going to be dosing those anyway, so they'll go through and just get shedded off. Then I just run the ewes back through, and then that takes half the time to do them, because the ewes just come plodding through after their lambs.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Matt, just to go back a little bit to that scale of 1 to 5, I know when I condition score at home, I'm quite pedantic and go, well, she's a 3.75, and Dad's very much, well, she's fit. So we'd always agree that the same sheep go in the same groups, but we call it something different. So what would you say to somebody who would say, well, I can't quarter score, it's just too complicated?
I'd say to any sheep farmer that's wanting to adopt body condition score, that just make it what fits your system. So if you want to do it thin sheep, want the best grass to get themselves back into condition to produce you ovulate good enough to get you enough lambs, but also carry them through to weaning, that works. You know, thin, okay and fat works, but when you get more and more into it, you'll start breaking that down into different ranges and matching it to your grazing management.
Yeah, because I know where the Challenge Sheep started, we did some sort of just collaboration of all the farmers who were doing the assessing, and I remember at the time having a big debate about quarters and halves, and many saying, I can't do quarters.
That just takes time and getting used to putting your hands on the sheep. The biggest thing for me is the first race fall is working my way down the group and working out my benchmark of where a number three is. Now, before I start pushing loads of sheep through, I think that's critical to any farmer actually body condition scoring. Just going through 20 sheep at a steady pace and going, that's a three. That's where I want my sheep to be. Then working up and down from that.
So almost have your benchmark. So maybe at weaning, if you say anything less than 2.5 goes that way, you could find a tougher score out the whole time. And they've gone, well, I'm half out to you. I'm not doing it right. And I said, yeah, but you're consistent. So, you know, it's not really that important whether we use a 3.25 or a 3. It's whether she's fit for tupping or whether she's too thin at weaning. It's kind of using it quite broadly as well. We can absolutely use it to quarters and, you know, assess individual ewes over long periods of time for project purposes, which is always useful and it's great scientific information. But practically on farms, if it's all or nothing, then it, you know, that can put people off. So start with the basics, and then you'll soon find that you want to build up, especially if you're utilizing that information and finding it useful. You're going to want to find more, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what you're going to do, you know. And for here, for me, it's the amalgamation of everything we do, putting it together. One of their main drivers is body condition score for the grazing management. The thinner sheep get the best grass. They get everything they can deal with. The ones that are in over good condition, they'll follow around behind them, cleaning up. And them sheep can do a very good job of cleaning up behind them and helping your grass and this, that and the other. But it's, no, there is other parts of, everybody's got a part of a farm where they say sheep don't do, but if the sheep are already on it that have done, why don't they utilise it?
So we're at the time of year now, Matt, where you've just finished weaning, is that correct?
Yeah, we just finished weaning the last group after this week. I've had a quick look at the information. We've got a condition score 3 and above, we've got 38% of our sheep. Then we got condition score 2.5 to 2.75. We've got the other 37% of the sheep. And everything, which I don't, we're still getting back into condition, everything from 2.25 downwards is the rest of the flock. So 26%, I think it worked out to be.
Okay. So you already know that your focus is on less than a third of the flock, don't you? So you all immediately, your main focus is that bottom 27%.
Yeah, that 27% is pulled out. They are now, I'm hoping that a good 10 to 15% of it will be my natural cool ewes that have lost their teeth, and, you know, that have other problems. So hopefully we can get that down to being 10%. Then we know we've got a chance of lifting these sheep back to their 3, 3.5 condition score ready for tupping.
So what are the key reasons that you cull for? Would body condition score would be one of them, but you mentioned sort of the other reasons where they might be thin. So what would that be? Lameness? Or?
Yeah, lameness. I've got to say we're running at the moment at less than 2% lameness, which is pretty good for this time of year. So, you know, that's been picked up as well when we're weighing and sorting the sheep. So anything that's had prolapses are called for, teeth, other problems, repetitive problems of any description. Yeah, anything that most farmers call for.
Okay.
But it's surprising how many of those are in when your body condition score in the bottom percentage of the sheep.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're thin because of another reason. So how long will you give those bottom ones before you start to think, you know, I don't think they're going to make it for tupping?
We'll start pulling everything apart. Middle of July now, so we'll start middle of August, September, and every time we go through, we'll drop some more sheep out that we believe can't get back the body condition score. With everything right about them, so their teeth are right, their feet are right, their udders are right, we can't find the physical reason they've got a problem, so there's something we don't know about in the body condition scores showing it, so they will be then called out of the flock.
Mm. And then those who are hitting the target, they'll also come out, will they? So they'll go up to the sort of the next
they'll
class.
They'll come up on top of the downs onto the rough pasture. As soon as they hit over a 3, there'll be mineral bonus, because we know through the KPI project, we know we've got mineral deficiencies, especially this time of year, and they'll be mineral bonus and go up on top of the down.
You'll continue to do that through the year as well. I know you condition score once the rams are out as well, don't you? As opposed, you tend to leave them alone during tupping, is that right? And then you'll...
We condition score about a week, 10 days off before the rams go in. You know, then we... I've got to take the rams out as well, because we rattle as well. So I split them up when the rams come out by their rattle colours and body condition score. So in the first 3 weeks, we'll change the rattles every week to help us through our feeding system indoors. And then we'll pull them out on the rattle colour, and anything that's thin in the following week will go up a week. So they're always on better grass, if that makes sense.
Yeah, step it up, yeah.
That's the start until we're kind of doing that all through the year. We do that then, we'll do it again at scanning.
Okay, brilliant. This prime example of how you're utilising condition score during the year, and I think you're probably utilising it at a gold standard, but there are many other, sort of, there'd be a bronze and a silver that people could get started, couldn't they? Because I think it could be perhaps overwhelming for people to say, I can't condition score 5 times a year and do all of this on an Excel spreadsheet and do all of this analysis. But you can do that, but there are other more management options, like we talked about, the fit, thin, fat. If you had to start with one time of year, Matt, putting you on the spot, where you really think, if you're going to start it now, when would you say that is?
There's 2 points that just jump straight in my head. It's one, now, to get the sheep back into condition, the tupping, to get the optimum we can. So once they wean and pull out the cool ewes, then find your thin sheep, give them the best grazing possible. I think that's a no-brainer. But then I think the next time is either around scanning or definitely 6 weeks off lambing. It's pulling them thinner sheep and putting them into a group that got a bit more space to feed, opportunity to better nutrition through space. We all know that sheep lose condition when they're milking for the first 8 weeks. So no, let's get these sheep to their optimum condition, best we can, coming out of lambing, so that they can milk as hard as they can to get these lambs close to the target weights as we can by weaning, then get them back round for tupping without too much of an uphill battle.
I know I always say to people, try and do it when the ewes aren't pregnant, because the minute ewes are pregnant, you've always got this balance of the impact on the lamb, haven't you, as well as the impact on the ewe. So fat ewes especially, you know, on the lead up to lambing, if you've got particularly fat sheep, people will quite often say, well, how do I get the condition off them? And you say, well, you can't really, because in that last 6 weeks, it all goes on the lamb. So you're hard, too hard on your fat ewes in late pregnancy, and actually you're gonna create more problems than if you just keep them on maintenance. But that might be another podcast for later in the year about the focus around lambing time. But I'd completely agree, if you want to get started, it's weanings.
It's your thinner ones we're looking for, you know. It's the thinner ones where, if they're in good condition, like you say, you've still got to manage them. But the thinner ones is the main driver we need to find.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, we haven't mentioned, how old are the lambs when you wean?
We've gone from, before we started the KPI project, we were weaning at 16 weeks. And just before we started it, we started playing around with 12-week weaning, 90-day weaning. And I'm such a fan now of weaning earlier, around that 11, 12 weeks. The lambs seem to settle down so much easier. Just seem to get on with life and keep growing. We just bought in lambs earlier this week, and they're still putting on the same weight gain as there was pre-being weaned. These lambs now, once you get to 16 weeks, you're pulling the ewe down even harder. The lambs seem to make around and not...
There's that element of competition with their mother, isn't it, after sort of 12 weeks upwards. So if you are struggling with grass, you get that, you get the competition within the field with ewes wanting the grass and the lambs as well. So you may be off but separating them and putting the lambs into a different pasture, so there isn't that element of competition the same.
Exactly. And then for me, just splitting them up and batching them up, so it's better for giving wormers and everything, so they're all same weight range. I'm just going through one group pulling lambs. It makes a lot more sense.
Great. So I feel like I've interrogated you enough, Matt. Is there anything else that you've thought of as we're discussing that you think would be worthy of sharing with our listeners about condition scoring? I know you're a huge advocate.
I think the biggest thing for people is have a go. Find your thinner ewes, pull them out and manage them as an individual group. For me, I'm sure people see massive results.
That's great. So thank you very much to Matt for your time. I would say that the key messages I would take from this discussion that we've just had is that you can get as complicated as you would like in gathering your body condition score, or you could start off very, very simply with one set of ewes and splitting them in and giving them that priority. But if you did have the technology and the equipment available and you're keen, you can record it individually and follow that progress across the year. For more information on how to body condition score, we have a YouTube video that is available for you to watch. We've also got manuals, the BRP manual for managing ewes for better returns has a description of that scale of 1 to 5 that Matt and I discussed earlier in terms of when you physically body condition score. And please visit our website for any further information. Thank you.
Visit ahdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information. And follow us on Twitter at @theahdb to stay up to date.
Our next podcast will feature AHDB potatoes. Tune in next week. Thanks for listening.